talked today a little bit at the first meeting of Genesis, the fall of Adam and Eve, starting with temptation, what we're really talking about. We start with temptation of Eve and Garden. And you see, Eve fell into a fatal flaw. She entered a conversation with Satan, which is something every man with a finite
never win. Against a fallen angel with an intuitive intellect. But Eve allowed herself to fall into that fate. And she allowed herself, thus it opened her up to the temptation. Satan starts by asking a simple question, a leading question, a lead-on question. It was a pointed one, but nevertheless, a question, and Eve simply answered truthfully. And then the devil proceeds first with a lie, and then comes the temptation. The lie, you will surely not die. When in fact, God had told them, if they touch it, they shall die. And they would suffer the consequences of death. Didn't mean necessarily right at that moment, the moment they touched it. Well, obviously they didn't. But they had to, if they touched it, if they ate it, they face the consequences, and one of those is death. So we start here with the lie of Satan and then the temptation itself. You can be like God, knowing good and evil. They certainly did come to know good and evil, as we see by the fact that they recognized at that point that they were naked. And felt the shame. Yes, they did come to know good and evil, which they had no need to up to that point. But in any case, the real temptation is, you will be like God, which is nothing less than pride. The very pride that caused Satan himself, Lucifer, to fall. Believing he could be like God. And that's all too easily the temptation for all of us, pride. Then we see Adam also taking the fruit. But his motive was different. He too fell into a sin, a particular sin. It was lust. He was afraid of losing his wife, Eve. So he ate it with her, to be sure he went with her. And because of the pride on the part of Eve and the lust on the part of Adam, there came the disobedience. Three sins. All right? And thus, the consequences. And we all have inherited those consequences. We all inherited original sin. Fortunately, we've had the opportunity to have it washed away with baptism. But we still face the consequences, every one of us. And that's why it is important to reflect on these themes. Again, I repeat, today it's temptation, which Satan will do for all of us because he wants to, you know, he wants to turn away all of us from God. But we see as we go on, now the second reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, he speaks of the disobedience of the one man, which caused us all to fall into sin, brought about death, and the obedience of one man, now be careful what he means there, that brought about life, that opened the way to paradise to us. Because that man who did obey is also God. And if that were not the case, it wouldn't have worked. It's an infinite God who is offended by sins. Therefore, it requires someone infinite to make up the reparation necessary for that sin. Yet at the same time, it was man who sinned. So it required a man to make up for that sin. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. He's both. The God who takes upon ours, upon himself, our human nature. You see, and thus he could suffer and die, look on the cross, and rise from the dead, and thus open the way to paradise to us, if we will accept him, if we will follow him. Now we see a complete contrast, of course, in the gospel passage we have just heard, because here again our Lord is being tempted. It would appear Satan does not recognize our Lord completely. He's not certain that this is. He thinks maybe he is the Son of God, but he's not certain, so he's giving him these temptations. And so he gives if you are the Son of God, well, then you can turn these rocks into stone, these rocks into bread. A simple thing. And our Lord responds with a quote from scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's half revealing himself here, and even stronger in the next one. Because then, all right, that one was defeated. Now Satan tries another one. Takes him up to the parapet of the temple. He's ready to throw. Now jump down. And he quotes Psalm 109. He will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they shall support you, lest you dash foot against a stone. Right, if you are the Son of God, then nothing's going to happen to you. And our Lord simply responds with another quote. You see, God, our Lord being God, is stronger than Satan. Therefore, he can defeat him, but we can't. And that's the deep contrast here. And so God, our Lord, that is, does defeat him. Then the next one, it's quite something, actually, when you stop to think about it. The devil takes him up to a hill. Here, I will give you all these kingdoms. You can have control of everything if you'll just worship me. Can you imagine? Asking our Lord himself to worship Satan. And then comes the final response. Begone, Satan. God, your Lord, the Lord your God alone shall you worship and shall you serve. So our Lord, being God, could easily defeat Satan, and did. But by the fact that he is our Lord and God, and to him alone is due adoration and worship. And let us not hesitate to give that to him. Come before him, particularly in the Blessed Sacrament and the Sacrament of Penance, where we can maintain ourselves in the state of grace, and then come before him and pour out all our needs to him. And we need only just converse like we converse to each other. He's waiting to listen to us. Let us come to him then and seek that guidance, that help. Whatever, let us seek his will, because the key word is obedience. Adam and Eve were disobedient. Our Lord was thoroughly obedient to the Father. Do we follow in the same way, just as our Lord asks us? Take up your cross and follow me. Praise be Jesus and Mary.